If I've got any critique from this morning, it was that we didn't show enough of Captain America. And so, greetings. My name is David Merle, and I'm on the teaching team here at Lighthouse. And I show that clip today for a few reasons. Who likes the Marvel movies? Like, oh yeah, good amount. I even heard a small, subtle cheer there. Captain America, anyone fans? Yeah, all right, see a few hands. Captain America is probably the movie that got me a little bit interested in the Marvel Universe. And as I'm sure you're all familiar with, Captain America, he has that shield. It's his weapon even. And Captain America does a lot of cool things. He fights aliens and Thanos and all kinds of creatures. And he's trying to save the planet and universe and all of that. And because of that, he would not go anywhere without his shield. The Captain America movies would be quite boring without the shield because it would put him in a lot of vulnerability. And there, of course, is a real easy comparison there to where we're going because we're in this series right now called Suit Up that's about the armor of God. And one of the pieces of the armor of God is the shield of faith. And as we walk through our lives, the difficult times, the ups and downs of life, we would not want to be caught without our shield of faith because it would make us too vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And so if you'll just hold that thought for a second, we're going to start by reading our text because I'm convinced that there are some things in our text today that point to the importance of the shield of faith and some things we can learn about using the shield of faith to make us less vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. So if we'll go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and feel free to follow along in your Bibles, on your smartphone, or of course the scriptures will be on the screen here. Starting in verse 10, pardon me, it says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And when you, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So join me as I pray over our time together. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you today. And Father, I just ask, will you open all our hearts to hear from you and to hear only from you today? Father, I ask you to empower me to teach only what you would like spoken here today and help us to all receive exactly what it is that you want for us. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. One of the first things that I observe from this text, especially when considering the shield of faith, is this, is that as Paul writes out this metaphor, this analogy, comparing the things that we have in terms of our relationship with Jesus to armor, he doesn't really spell out each piece of armor. He just kind of lets this word picture speak for itself. You know, he just says salvation is, the helmet. And he just kind of lets the picture speak for itself. With one exception, he says, he does clarify that the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So he offers a little something to consider about the shield of faith, differently than how he had spoke about the other pieces of armor. Now, in part, I think that's because I'm convinced that Paul wanted followers of Jesus to understand that the shield of faith can destroy all plans of the enemy. Followers of Jesus should understand that the shield of faith can destroy all plans of the enemy. Let's go back to the verse so I can highlight that. In verse 16, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, before we get to that, let's just learn a little bit about what faith is, what the scripture, how it outlines what faith is. In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence of what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. So when we read scriptures that say things like all things work together for the good of those that love God, like our confidence and assurances in that, even though we don't see it. And that should impact our behavior and how we live that out. And if I'm comparing again kind of the overlap in how the shield of faith produces victory in our life, if we go to James, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there's this idea in Scripture that faith, holding up the shield of faith, provides victory, and not only victory, but it extinguishes all of the weapons of the enemy, and the enemy will flee from you. I don't think we talk about that idea enough, that we can live in resistance where the devil would flee from us. We have a lot of conversation about the enemy attacking us, but not enough about the enemy fleeing from us. So in form of a testimony, let me tell a little bit of a personal story about my life. My life in the last 7 years has been a little complicated. And so I hope this serves as a testimony to the impact that the shield of faith can provide. It all started when my best friend had passed in an automobile accident in 2016. And then 6 months to the day, I lose my father to cancer. And within that same year, I lose my mom. And then a few months later, I do one of the hardest things I've probably ever done in my life and plant a church, all while being in a marriage that was not always healthy, that ended in divorce, and in small or in large part, I have to take responsibility for that. And so, at the beginning of around 2018, I start to experience anxiety and depression. Some might call that a mental health crisis. And so, I began to go on this journey of pastoring a church, planting a church, and there were a lot of kinks in my armor. And it was certainly a complicated time with a lot of uncertainty. Hands down, hardest period of my life. But there was something settled in my life, and it was this: that I was going to serve Jesus. That was settled. And so as a result, during this hard time, despite all of the uncertainty, I would lean into things like, I wouldn't start my day without hearing from God. I remember there was one time I went to a Christian conference alone to hear from God that I don't think many people actually knew that I went to. There were podcasts and things I was listening to basically expand my shield of faith. And someone had given me a word actually during this season, and that word was, it came from the story of the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And someone said to me, David, I feel like God has said to me that you will make it through the fire without evidence of fire or smoke. And I feel like I did. As a matter of fact, one day, I'm pretty familiar with my bank tellers, for instance, oddly enough, and I had gone a few. I'm a talker. I talk to people, so my bank tellers are just one of a zillion people that I talk to, so they're familiar. They're probably like, oh, here's the talker. So I go into the bank one day, and it had been a while since I had been in. And one of them looked at me and said, David, you don't look like what you've been through. And I say that to say, hopefully as a little bit of a reminder and encouragement to those of you in the room today that might be going through your own difficulty and your own challenge, but I assure you, that if you hang on to the shield of faith, the enemy will flee. You will extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy. And just maybe, you'll get through your fire with no evidence of smoke or fire. But you got to hang on to the shield of faith. You got to hang on. One thing I began to grow and understand about faith living in that time is that faith isn't moving forward with certainty. It is moving forward despite uncertainty. Let me say that again. Faith isn't moving forward with certainty. It is moving forward despite uncertainty. Along those lines, I think something else that Paul wanted us to know about the shield of faith is that the shield of faith is better than your shield. The shield of faith is better than your shield. Let me show you where I get that idea. If we go back to verse 16, it says, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith. So when I see that, when he's saying take up, that means you either have nothing in your hands or you have to lay down the shield that is in your hands. Let me give you a little bit of an example. I love the shield of a good plan. Man, I like a good plan. As a matter of fact, I have some relatively decent social skills. So I love the shield of charisma and a good joke. I like to use some of these things to protect me. But see, I'm not the only one that I'm convinced uses shields that aren't the shield of faith at times. Sometimes, like me, some of you like to use the shield of good planning. Some of you like the shield of certainty. Some of us like to use the shield of details all in order. The shield of a good job. The shield of perfect understanding. Or the shield of perfect circumstances. One thing I can assure you, though, is that life has a way of showing you your shields will not be enough. If I'm sure of anything, life has a way to show us there will be a time that we will have to put these shields down. And the only thing that will get us through is the shield of faith. So why don't we take a moment and ask ourselves the following question. What shield must I lay down? What shield must I lay down? As I was speaking there, I'm convinced there's probably some people in the room that some things came to mind. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I got a shield I want you to lay down. One thing I also appreciate about the shield of faith is this, is that the shield of faith can be used while standing. The shield of faith can be used while standing, as compared to walking, is where I was, what I was thinking. Because I think, as we probably should, when we think about putting armor on, we're thinking about, man, we're going to take some territory. We're going to keep moving forward. And that's appropriate. But sometimes, some of you even today, are going through things where all you can do is stand. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Jesus said it this way, stand firm and you will win at life. So for some of you in the room today, I just want you to leave knowing this. Maybe you're not taking any more territory, but I thank God that some of you have a shield up and not letting the enemy take any more territory. You're reminding yourself that God is your provider, that all things work out for good, and that Jesus is walking with you. And if all you can do is stand, then stand. That's enough. Sometimes standing is enough, but do not let your shield go. Now, I normally wouldn't use this next illustration, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was moving my life around in a way to make sure it was here. Earlier in the week, I was having a conversation with a friend, and he made reference to this statement, I shall not be moved. Which reminded me of this song we used to sing in church back in the early 90s called I Shall Not Be Moved. Anyone familiar with it? There's all the Gen X and boomers in the room. So I'm going to read the lyrics to some of this song. There's a lot of repetition in it because that's what we did in the 90s. So, just work with me. It says this, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Then it goes on. I'm on my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. I'm on my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And that went on for 40 minutes. And we sang that phrase about 9,000 times. Because that's what we did. But can I tell you, I just appreciate that. I think there was something in us back then that just wanted to make sure that deep in our mind, deep in our souls, deep in our hearts, that we understood if anything is true, we are not going to be moved. So, you can all be grateful. We're not going to sing this today. But we are going to make it our declaration. So I'm going to say it. I want you to say it with me. We'll practice it. Eventually, I'm going to throw some things at you, and you're going to say it again. All right? So say it with me. I shall not be moved. Again, I shall not be moved. Now, family problems.
I shall not be moved.
Financial problems.
I shall not be moved.
Physical problems.
I shall not be moved.
Election year. Right on. God bless. Let's leave with that spirit in our soul today. So I'm going to turn it back over to Clint and Rose. And thank you for your time.